Okay, good morning, everybody. Freiluch and Shushan Purim. Today's daf is Bab Metzia Daf Chavav. We are holding on Daf Chav Hayam and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chav Hayam and Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and none of his wife and children, Anli Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha LaShalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, and also by Rabbi Bruckheimer in loving memory of his wife, Hindul Basel Yakima Cohen, Zichrona Levracha, and Neshama Shavu Aliyah, and in honor of his real Bar Mitzvah anniversary, which is in Adar Sheni. We are holding, as we said in the Mishnah, on Daf Chafeim Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about what if you find something in a wall, you find something in a hole in a wall, you find something in a wall that had collapsed. So who does it belong to? The person who lives on one side of the wall, the person who lives on the other side of the wall. Then the Gemara is going to talk about things that are found in a rented home. So do you assume it belongs to the owner of the home, the person who's currently renting the home, the last person to have rented the home? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. The Gemara is going to ask a kasha and have three different terutzim to that kasha. Then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about the isurim related to Hashavas Aveda. The Torah tells us that if you see an Aveda, you're not allowed to pretend not to see it. You're not allowed to hide from it. You have to go and pick it up. And if you do pick it up, but you pick it up with the intention to keep it, you violate Lo Sigzal. So when does a person violate Lo Suchal Salim? When exactly do they violate Lo Sigzal? And then the Mishnah, toward the bottom of the page on Chavavam Beis, is going to talk about Avedos that are found in various commerce settings. You find an Aveda in a store. You find an Aveda by a money changer. The Gemara is going to talk about what if you find it on the money changer's table, because the Mishnah doesn't address that directly, and there are opposite implications from the Mishnah as to what the halacha is in such a case. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Chafayim Beis. So says the Mishnah, Matzah Begal, if a person finds an Aveda in a pile of stones from an old wall that had caved in, Uva Kosel Yashan, or he finds it in the holes of an old wall. So Harelu Shalom, you're allowed to keep such an aveda, that even if it has a simen, the Ritva points out, you're allowed to keep such an aveda. The Gemara is going to explain, because we assume that it's been there from the times of the Amorim who lived in Eretz Yisrael prior to our arrival. So the Ritva writes that that even when you find it in a pile of stones, it also must be talking about an old pile of stones, which implies that a gal chadash, you don't say it belongs to previous inhabitants, the nations that have previously inhabited this area, and then you'd be chayiv lahachriz, and that's mashma from Rashi as well, on where Rashi writes that even in a gal it's shaykh to say that it belongs to the Amorim, and it sounds like he's also referring to specifically a gal yashan. The Rambam seems to say the same way. The Rambam, Perek Tezayin, Halacha Zayin, writes, Hamotzi matmon begal o bekosel yashan harel shalo shani omer shel goyim akadmonim heim, that the assumption both by Gal and by Kosel Yashan is that it belongs to the Goyim who lived here prior to our arrival. So you see that even by a Gal you say that it's Shogoyim Hakadmonim. However, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that no, these are two different cases. By a Gal, even if it's Chadash, it's Harel Shalom. Even if it's a new wall that for some reason had caved in, there was an earthquake or something, it's still Harel Shalom, because we assume that Anshei Rosh HaSarabim are the ones that had placed it in the Gal. So it's a separate reason than the Kosel Yashan. But be that as it may, the Mishnah tells us that both a gal and a kosel yashan, if you find an aveda, it's harelu shalom. Mata bekosel chadash, if you find it in the holes of a new wall that's right near the Rosh HaSarabim, so mechetzio v'lachutz, if you find it in the outer half of the thickness of the wall, shalom, then it belongs to you, then the finder's keepers, because you say that you assume that one of the B'nai Rosh HaSarabim had put it there and he had forgotten about it and you found it. But mechetzio v'lefnim, but if it's in the inner half of the thickness of the wall, shel balabayis, then you assume belongs to the balabayis who lives on the other side of that wall, because mistama, he's the one that put it there. Im hayimaskiru la'acherim, if someone had rented out his house to somebody else, afilu betoch habayis harelu shalo, then in such a case, even if you find it in the house, forget about the wall that separates the house from the Rosh Hashanah, even if you find it in the house, you're allowed to keep it, because you're never going to know which, it's an Airbnb, so who left this over here? It's rented out to different people every day. It's not necessarily something that belongs to the owner of the house. So whoever finds it is able to keep it. So now the Gemara explains the basis of the Mishnah, that if you find it in a kosel yashan, it's harel shalos atana, mnei sheyachal omer lo, because the finder can say to the owner of the wall that had caved in, or the old wall, that shalom arim hein, this belongs to the Amorim who lived in Eretz Yisrael before we were able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos points out that the Bailim is not kona the rechush of the Amorim, meaning why can't the Bailim say, yeah, it did, but then I became the owner of this house, and when I became the owner of this house, I'm kona with a kinyan chatzar. Kinyan chatzar is a type of kinyan. So Tosfos explains that no, we don't have kinyan chatzar over here. Tosfos on Chavav Amral, the Bramaskul Shasr, that we don't have kinyan chatzar because the chatzar is only kona something that chatzar is not kona something that's possible that it will never ever be found. The zoom conked down. It's back. Okay, the chatzar can only be kona is not going to be kona something that it's possible that it would never be found. Or alternatively, the Rush writes, since the mammon of the Amorim, the person who ended up with that chelik of karka is not kona the mammon of the Amorim, meaning how does kibush melchama work? There's a shaila that's actually a very contemporary shaila, that when we're kovesh land, when the IDF, let's say, conquers an area, when they go into a neighborhood in Gaza and they take over that neighborhood, so a lot of times they'll find things, and there are houses that they're going to destroy, and they'll find a lot of very valuable things. So technically speaking, with the Dinama IDF policies, they don't take anything. You don't take, you find someone's Rolexes and whatever, you just leave them. But and that's, I think, I don't know if there might be international law also. So they don't touch it. But technically, from the Dinama of Kibush Mulcham and the Rambam, so what's the halacha? Finders keepers? No, that's not the halacha. Halacha is that all the mamon has to be split in a particular way. It goes to the melech, and the melech figures out what goes to the soldiers and what goes to the people on the home front and how to divide it up. So there's no if we got it because of Kibush Mulchama, it's not just whoever yarshins that land gets to keep it. So that's what the Rush points out. That certainly the owner has no rights to claim it. Midin kinyan chatzar. Shitum Kubetzas also quotes from Tosos Chitzonios, a third approach, that kinyan chatzar only is kona an object that went into the chatzar when the chatzar already belonged to the bailim. But if it was in the chatzar before the bailim ever owned the chatzar, then you're not kona with a kinyan chatzar. And the Rambam has a fourth approach, that this aveda has didn't have an aveda that's avuda mimenu umikal adam, which the halacha is if it's avuda mimenu umikal adam, like zuta shaliyam, where no one is going to be able to retrieve it. So then harei shal motza, then the halacha is it belongs to whoever it is that finds it. So anyway, so this is a good taina, that the reason why it's if you find it in an old wall that the finder is allowed to keep it is because he could claim it belonged to the Amorim. I am not the owner of the wall. Yeah, the owner of the wall is not going to be kona with the kinyan chatzer, for one of four reasons that the Rishonim give. So frak the Gemara, atu Amorim mitzani, v'yisrael lo mitzani. Wait a second, why would you assume it belongs to the Amorim that inhabited Eretz Yisrael before we conquered Eretz Yisrael? Are Amorim the ones that put things away and hide things in safe places, and Jews don't do that? Minastam, the Balakosel also did that. He also put things away in the holes in his wall to protect them and for safekeeping. So why would they belong to the person who finds them? So it says, Gemara lo tzricha dishasich tfei. We're talking about something that's very shasich. So what does shasich mean? So Rashi writes that it means something that has a lot of rust on it. So they were able to, you bring in an archaeologist and he's able to age it, and he's able to say, oh yeah, this clearly is from that tkufa, from that period of time of the Amorim, because of the condition that it's in. So it's mistaber that the Bailim are not the ones that put it there, because it wouldn't have stayed there for so long. So it's got to be that it's from the times of the Amorim. The Rambam writes that someone finds in a kosel yashan rei shalom only if you find it betachtis hakosel, like those who are matmonim yishanim, like those people who would hide things away in ancient days. You find it all the way in the bottom of the wall. And the Perush Mishnayis says also that you find it in the omek ha'adama, that this was dug way deep down, where clearly it's not someone who lives there now who's putting it away. That this is something that's an archaeological dig. You go dig for a day on one of those, you know, now no one does that when you go to Israel, I guess, because we're busy doing missions, but it used to be in happier times and easier times that you go and you pretend you're an archaeologist, and they probably leave some shards of pottery there for you to make you feel good about yourself. So you go dig for a day. So that's where you're finding things that were left there for a while. That's what the Bir Agra writes as well. Now it's that the Girsa, the Rambam, and the Gemara was Dishasis Tfei, not Dishasich Tfei. I think in Shulchan Aruch it quotes both qualifications, that it needs to be both rusty and deep down, because the Shach explains that the Mechaber wasn't sure which Perush is correct. Is it like Rashi says, or is it like the Rambam? So he says you can't keep it unless you're sure. And the only way you can be sure is if you meet both criteria, the sheet of the Rambam and the sheet of Rashi. Okay, because of Chadash, though, we said in a new wall, Mechetziv l'chutz shalom, Mechetziv l'fnim shel balabayis. So in an old wall, when you find something, you're allowed to keep it because you assume it belongs to the Amorim. And we said that's assuming that you could tell from the condition of the Aveda or the placement of the Aveda that it looks really, really old. In a new wall, it depends on the placement within the wall. If it's in the outer half of the wall closer to the Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to keep it. The inner half of the wall closer to where the person lives, so it belongs to the Balabayas. So the Gemara says, you know, not everything depends whether it's in the outer half of the wall, the inner half of the wall. There are other factors that may be an indicator as well. Samar Avashi Sakina Basar Kata. If you find a knife and the handle of the knife is facing in one direction or the other, regardless of where in the depth of the wall the Aveda may be, you go with the side where the handle is, because people would not put a knife in the wall holding it by the blade. People hold it by the handle. So you go with the side of the handle. The kisa, and if you have a money pouch, basar shanse, you go with the straps of the money pouch, because that's where a person would hold it. And therefore, it's whichever direction that's in. So it says in Meravel, Masnisa Ketani, Mechatzik Lechot Shalom, Mechatzik Lechot Shalom, Balabayis, Velachsi, Kata Legavi, Kata Lebari, Shanse Legavi, Shanse Levar. Well, wait a second. Why does our Mishnah then say that it depends on where in the thickness of the wall it is, in the outer half of the wall or the inner half of the wall? Why don't you just look at where the handles are, or where the meaning like we just said? So it says, because not every kli has handles. Masnisin bu'udra v'niska. It's talking about a thing of a clump of cotton or wool or something, or a piece of silver. So there is no handle. There is no way to be able to tell in that way. So when there are no ritsuos and there are no handles, so then you have to be able to look at where in the wall exactly it was placed. And Aram Shiv points out that the Gemara could have also said, meaning even if we are talking about a knife with a handle, it could be that it was running in the other direction. I mean, instead of running length, I don't know, width, like, whichever way, in this way, it was running that way. Right, so it was instead of running along the width of the wall, it was running along the length of the wall. So you're not able to see which way the handle is facing. The Maram Shif says, yeah, the Gemara could have answered that, but that it's not the derech to find a knife that way. Probably, if you found a knife, it was facing in one direction or the other. Okay, now the Mishnah said that if you find in a kosel yad chadash, it depends on which side the metziah was. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses a metziah that you're not able to figure out who put it in the kosel, because it fills the entire cavity of the wall. It fills the entire thickness of the wall. So Tana Imaya Kosel Mulamehen, if the kosel is full of objects that are found in the holes in the wall, so Cholkin, then the Motse and the Bala Kosel divided among themselves. So says Mar Pshita, isn't it a Dover Pashat that when you're not able to prove who the object belongs to, so you're going to divide it? Why does the Bryce have to say that you divided? So answers Gemara, the Bryce is talking about where the kosel is slanted in one direction or the other. So I would have thought that probably it started on the higher end of the slant, and probably belongs to whoever lives on that side. And the reason why you're also finding stuff in the lower end of the slope is it spilled, because gravity took it down to the lower end of the slope, but it probably all started on the side of the wall that's the higher end of the slope. So Kamash Milan, that's why the Bryce says, tell me that we don't say that. The Motze and the Balakosel rather divide it. So the Gemara had asked, meaning the Havamina, the Gemara is interesting, Havamina, right? The Gemara had said, well, if you find it filling the entire cavity of the wall, well, you split it up, Pshita. It's obvious that you split it. So the Ritva explains, well, I don't know who it belongs to, and therefore it says if they're both muchzik in it, and that's why it's pashut that you're going to be cholik. Because if you have two people that are shnei muchzik and betalis, so that's the first mishnah in the mesechta. So if you have two people that are muchzik in it, so then you're going to split it. So that's considered two people that are muchzik in it. Frakturbi kiveger in his chidushim. Why is that so pashut that you split the metzia? Adraba, I would have thought that the motze is zochin it alone because he's really muchzik in it. Anyway, ki'ilu, the balabais is muchzik in it, and ki'ilu, who's holding on to it? It's the motze that's holding on to it. So he's the one that's actually muchzik in it, and no one else is. And when there's no marakama, we go with the muchzik. So you shouldn't say that the balakosel should be a muchzik misafek, and he should be zocha in the entire aveda, like the Rush says that the chayfet shal hefker that's thrown derech bayis, the balabayis is zocha midin muchzik, because over here, since he's not, it's not omidli matzah, he can't say that he was zocha in it. So frakter b'kiveger, why is it that we're assuming the Bala Bayis is just as muchzik as the motze? L'chor, the motze is the one that's muchzik in it, and Mimela, he should be the one to keep it, because he's the only muchzik. So in the Shiurei Rabbi Shmuel, he suggests, Shmuel Brzezovsky suggests, that over here it's a tfisa la'achar shenol la'safek, meaning he only became muchzik in it after he found it. He sees it in the wall, and then he picked it up. That's not called muchzuk. He picked it up. The suffix was when you saw it in the wall. Now is it, am I going to be allowed to keep this? Is blah, blah, blah. So that's the suffix. And then when I went and I grabbed it, so that's not called muchzuk if it's a tfisa la'achar leidas ha-suffix. So that doesn't work in the Beis Meir. He asks slightly differently. He says, l'chor, the chiddush is that you don't say that the aveda mi-suffix goes to the motze, meaning unlike the mandiyamar, the takfu kohen, and motzi miyado, even though it's muchzuk mi-suffix. Meaning that was a major complicated sugya in the first parak of Takfu Kohen, that if someone became a muchzuk afterwards, so there is a shita that he gets to keep it, even though he became a muchzuk afterwards. So you can say pshita against the whole sugya of Takfu Kohen. So he suggests that over here the tfisa of the motze is a tfisa garua, because he wasn't tofes mirushus habaylim. He was tofes from a chur that was samach lirushus rabim. And he also doesn't have a tainas vada. He only has a tainas shema. So this is not going to fit into the category of takfu kohen. I don't know why the Zoom is not behaving today. Okay, so says the Gemara. So again, we said, isn't it a davar pashut that if you find it, okay, we're back. Sorry, I don't know why the Zoom keeps conking out. If you find it, we said if it fills up the whole wall, so it belongs. They're cholek. The Gemara said it's pashut that they're cholek. So the Achronim deal with why that's such a davar pashut, why the Gemara thinks it's a davar pashut, and the Gemara says basically in a chinami it is a davar pashut. It's only not a davar pashut when the wall is on a slope, and there's reason to believe that it started out on one end of the wall and it spilled down to the other end of the wall. Then the Mishnah said, if it was a house that was rented to other people, then even if you find it inside the house, it's harei l'shalo. So the Gemara explains, why does it belong to whoever found it? Why not whoever lived there last? Shouldn't you go with the person who rented that house last, and therefore it was the last person living in the house? Where do we have a marmakam that basra is a mochiach, that's a raya? So milo tanan, it's a mishnah in the seventh parakum. The Mishnah talks about Moshe Nimsu Lefnei Sochre Behema. If you find money in front of Sochre Behema in Yerushalayim, Li'ola Meiser, whether it's the Zman HaRegel or whether it's not the Zman HaRegel, so the halacha is it's considered to be Meiser Sheni money, because Meiser Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and there was a lot of Meiser Sheni money. So people, you know, keep in mind it's 10% of your income. So you're going to go to the Ola LeRegel, Shloshim Yom Padmecha. We can start talking about being all the regal. You're going to go be all the regal. You're going to come to Yerushalayim, and you have to spend on food. You have to spend 10% of your income on food in those periods of time that you happen to be in Yerushalayim. So think about it nowadays. How would the people who could afford to go to Yerushalayim, 10% of their income is a lot of money. They're not going to be able to spend all of that on food in the amount of time that they're there. So what would they do? So they'd give some of their Meiser Sheni money to Aniyim or to friends of theirs that live in Yerushalayim who are there year round. So they're there year round. It's Mishnah said it's got to be eaten by somebody. You know, this money has to be spent on food by somebody in Yerushalayim. So since they're going to do that, so wherever you're going to find by Sochre Behema, it's always Maaser Sheni money that's being used to buy meat in Yerushalayim. So therefore, if you find it in Sochre Behema, it's Liola Maaser, even if it's not Shasar Regel, you could assume it's Maaser Sheni money. Baharabayis, if you find it on Harabayis, then even Bizman HaRegel itself, Chulin, we assume it's Chulin. Even Bizman HaRegel, where most of the money in Yerushalayim is clearly Maaser Sheni money, because the Olei Regalim are all bringing their Maaser Sheni money with them in order to eat in Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, you go with the Rove when you find it on Harabayis, and you're told that this money was there from before the Regel, and therefore you can assume that it's in fact Chulin money. Now, wait a second. How did money get onto Harabayis? The Gemara in Bracha says that you're not allowed to go into Harabayis with your money. So it's more mistaver that this money must be from the Trumas HaLishcha, which they bring in Chodesh Nisan, and it's there for Kodesh, right? So I would have thought that, meaning that we do the whole shekel collecting throughout Chodesh Adar, because in Chodesh Nisan they start doing the Trumas HaLishcha to be able to use those funds for the new Karbanos. That's the money that makes it onto Harabayis. You're not supposed to be schlepping money, you're not supposed to be carrying money on Harabayis. So why in Harabayis are we assuming it's Chulin money? Adraba, I wouldn't assume it's Maaser Sheni, I would assume it's Kodesh. I would assume that it's a greater Kedusha. So Tosfos writes that the Isser of carrying money on Harabayis is only if it's Srurim b'Sadino b'Farhesia, that you're carrying it in a very public way where it's very obvious that it looks like you're going to do some sort of business. But if you're maksik biyado, if you're holding it in your hand, then it's going to be mutter. Tosa Rush writes that money that's tzurim sadino mibachutz is aser, but any time that it's in a more, you're carrying it in a more discreet kind of way, that's going to be mutter to take money on Harabayis. So people did have money on Harabayis. It's just that they didn't have a money belt on Harabayis. They didn't walk around in Harabayis in a way that it was obvious that they were carrying around money, but they did carry around money. So far we said, if you find it lefnei sochre behema, then I don't care what time of year it is, it's always Maaser Sheni money. If you find it in Harabayis, I also don't care what time of year it is, it's always going to be chulin money. Birushalayim, but if you find it in Yerushalayim, then it depends what time of year it is. Bisharim Mos Hashana Chulin. During the rest of the year, it's Chulin, because most of the money in the city throughout the rest of the year is Chulin money. But Bishas HaRegel, a Kol Meiser. But during the Regel season, when everyone's being all the Regel, so then you assume that most of the money in town is Maaser Sheni money, and therefore it's assumed to be Maaser Sheni money. Mishal Melech raises the question that most Meiser is Lechora Dover Shiyash Lamatirin, because you could eat it b'kedushasam in Yerushalayim. And the Ran in Maseches Beitza is not sure. He raises a suffix. You know, we have a halacha that Dover Sheish Matirin is not batal barov. There are two things about Dover Sheish Matirin. Something that will become mutter, that is us right now, we don't say suffix Rabban Kula on a Dover Sheish Matirin. Because why would you, the way Rashi writes Maseches Beitza, why would you be mekel on the Safek Rabbanan Kula? Just wait until it becomes mutter, and then it won't be a Safek anymore. Then you just wait till it becomes mutter. And we don't say that Bittel Barov by Dover Sheish Lamatirin, because why rely on Bittel? Just wait till it becomes mutter. You have to rely on Bittel. The Ran has a different approach as to why we don't say Bittel Barov. He says Bittel assumes that there is a clash between two opposite things. There's Isser, there's Heter. So one overwhelms the other, but that if even the Isser is kind of Heter, because it's Yesh Lo Matirin, it has qualities of Heter, so there's no clash. And if there's no clash, then there is no Bittel. But anyway, the Ran in Maseches Beitza says, yeah, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not Batal Barov, and just like he's not sure that just like it's not Batal Barov, Hu Adin Ein Holchem Bo Achar Rov. So this idea of there's no Bittel in our case. In our case, you're finding money. It's a question of Holich Achar Rov. Do you assume that this comes from the majority of the money that you find? But maybe since it's Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, we shouldn't say Holchem Achar Rov. So why are we saying that if you find it in Yerushalayim B'Sharim Mos Hashana, well, most of the money is Chulin, so it's Chulin, and Beregel, most of the money is Meiser, so it's Meiser. Why are you following the Rove? It's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, because Meiser is something that can be mutter. You just have to eat it in the right way. You just have to use it in the right way. So in Chuvas Rabbi Kiveger, he says that the money is a Cheskas Heter, because mitchila it definitely started out as most chulin. No money starts out as meiser sheni money. So that chazaka works more together with the rov, even on davar sheyesh matirin. It's able to team up with the fact that there's a rov. The fact that it had a cheskas etzer to begin with teams up with the rov, even to compensate for the fact that it's davar sheyesh matirin. The tzlach in psachim davzayin amral from the debut writes in the sefer tzlach tzil nefesh chaya tzlach is an acronym. Writes that even though the peros of meiser are davar sheyesh matirin because they're omid la'achila and you can eat them beheter, but stam money is omid for other things as well. Meaning, when it comes to peros of meiser sheni, that's a davar sheyesh matirin because what do you do with peros? You eat peros. So yes, these peros are usher outside of Yerushalayim and they're mutter to do the only thing you could do with them in Yerushalayim. But what can money be used for? Money can be used for anything. So when you say that it's meiser sheni money, yes, there's a way to spend this money that that's going to be mutter, but it very limits the way that you're allowed to spend the money. Now you're only able to spend the money on food. So then it's ki'ilu, it's not money anymore. Now it's a gift card. It's not money, right? Meaning you're only able to spend it on this particular item. So that's maybe a good maramakum in terms of whether gift cards are considered money for meiser kesafim. I always paskin for people, if you have a gift card to Dunkin' Donuts, that's not money. You have a gift card to Amazon, that's money, because you can buy anything on Amazon. But so if the purchasing power is very, very limited, you're only able to buy one particular item, then it's not money anymore. So that's not called the davar sheyesh lematirin. That's the svara of the tzlach. So anyway, so va'amar Rabbi Shmaya bar Zeira, my taima, what's the reason that in Yerushalayim and Yemos HaRegel the money is meiser, and we don't say that it's from the rove of the Shari Yemos HaShana that it's chulin money? So hold the Shukri Yerushalayim as because they sweep out the streets of Yerushalayim all the time. So Alma, so what are we assuming when you find money in Yerushalayim? Whatever old money was in the streets of Yerushalayim must have been swept away. This is new money, and this came from the most recent people who were around. So going back to our sugya, when you find a metzia in a rented house, shouldn't you assume that from previous tenants, that's already been cleaned away, that's already been taken care of, and this must be from the last person who had rented the house? So answers the Gemara, Amar Yesh Lakim Shem Bar Kapara, Kon Shaso Punduk L'Shlosi Yisrael. We're talking about a case where the Baal HaBayis made his house a residence at the same time for three different Jews. And whoever dropped it is going to be Misya'ish because he doesn't know who among the other two to be Toveya that might have found it. Meaning when he realizes he lost it, he's not going to know which of the two he's going to be able to be Toveya that must have taken it. So says Gemara, wow, you're going to assume Yeush when there are two other Jews living with him in the house? Shema mina, alach Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, afil brov Yisrael. That seems to be saying that we pass him like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that you're miyayish in an area that's rov Yisrael. That even in a case where it's rov Yisrael, you're going to be miyayish. You're going to assume that people are not going to be honest and let you know that they found your metzia. So says Gemara, second answer. Ela amra menashe ber Yaakov, kon shaso punduk l'shlosha, of the kochavim. No, the house was a punduk for three of the kochavim. So the stomach was lost by one of those gayim, and therefore there's no chiyuv hashavas aveda at all, because there is no chiyuv hashavas aveda to a nachri. Or third approach of Nachman Amar Rab Baravua, afilu temu l'shlosh Yisrael. It could even be that it was shlosh Yisrael, and it's still going to be arei l'shalom, but not because we paskan like Rabbi Shimon and Lazar that someone who finds a metzia when there are rabbim metzuyim there that we assume yeush and it belongs to you, because it could be we paskin like the chacham that we do not assume yeush because he assumes that that the motze wants to return the aveda. He just doesn't know who the bailim is, and when they when the biola l'regel, he'll be machriz and he'll return it based on the simanim. But in our case, the chacham are going to be moda that the bailim are miyayish anyway. My taima, why are they moda that their bailim are going to be miyayish? Who did nafel mine miyayish? The guy that dropped it is miyayish because meimar amar, he says to himself, michti in a shachrin alav Ba'adei Elahani. There was no one else except for these two people with us, meaning with me. I was in this house. It was just me and these two other guys. Sa Amri Kamayu Kamazimni Lahadruli Velohadruli. I already asked whoever was with me to return the Aveda. I said, if anyone in this house has found a whatever, I keep saying I lost it, and no one said that they found anything. If now they're going to return it to me, it's going to show that doesn't make sense. Now they're going to return it to me. They didn't want to return it to me. If they planned on returning it, they would have already done so. The reason they haven't already returned it is because they want to steal it. They want to keep it for themselves. That's why they haven't returned it. And Rav Nachman says that when there's three Jews there, that the Bailam are going to be Miyayish is Lishitoso. So Amar Rav Nachman, Ra'a Sela Shnafel Mishnayim Chayav La'achzir. If you see a Sela that dropped from among two people, you have to return it. My time, why? Ha'udinafel Minei Lo Miyayish, because whoever dropped it is not Miyayish. Memer Amar, he says to himself, Michti, Inish Achrin Alav Badoi Elahai. There was no one else with me except for this other guy. Nekitna Levamin Lei, Antu Deshakalte. So I'll be able to be Tovei him and say, you clearly are the one that took my Aveda, and I'll make him take a Shavuos Heses that he didn't take it, and he's going to have to return the Aveda to me. So if that's the case, when the Motzi picks up the Aveda, it's before the Yeush. So the halacha is Yeush Lomidas is not Yeush. Bishlosha, if it fell from among three people, Eino Chayav La'achzir, then you don't have to return it. My time, why not? Because the guy who dropped it was for sure Miyayish. Why was he Miyayish? Here was his thought process. Meimar Amar, he says to himself, Michti, Trei Avu Badoi. There were two other people with me. Inakitna Lahai Amar Lo Shekalte. If I'm Tovea, one of them, he's going to say, I didn't take it, right? Because he knows that it's possible that the other guy took it. Inakitna Lahai Amar Lo Shekalte. And if I'm Tovea, the other guy, he's going to say, I didn't take it because he knows it's possible the other one's going to take it. So right away, be me Ya'ish. So Gemara explains, where does Rav Nachman say that a seller that falls from three people does not require returning? Amar Rav, Haidam B'Shlosha, that which we said, that if you find that it fell from three people, that's only if the Aveda does not have a Shavar Pruta worth of value for all of the people that it had fallen from. But if there's a Shavar Pruta worth of value that can go to each of them, then you have to return it. Why? My time, because then it could be that it belonged to both of them, that they're Shutvim in the Sela, and they each hold that as soon as they find it, they'll split it because it's theirs. So since they trust each other as Shutvim, so they have not had Yeush, even though no one has yet returned it to them. And if there's no Yeush, then you're going to have to return it. Ikada Amri, another Girsa in Rava, is that Amr Rava, Avagav de Lesbeyel, Shava Shte Prutos, Chayv Lachzir, that even though it's only worth two Prutos, you have to return it. My time, Emer Shutvim, and again, the reason is because they might be Shutvim, V'chad Minayo Chule Achle, Leminse, Gabi Chavre, and one of them is Mochel his Chelek to the other one, so therefore, one of them has a Shavar Pruta in the Aveda, and therefore there is a Chiyuv HaShava. So that's the sugya about a rented house. There is a discussion in the Tshuvas Melamed LaHoel. The Tshuvas Melamed LaHoel has a Shaila. A guy bought a house, and then he started doing construction on the house. And when they started knocking down walls and doing construction, they found a treasure. They found an enormous amount of cash or something like that in the house. So who does it belong to? Does it belong to the previous owner? Or does it belong to this guy? So he says it's a Davar Pashut, that it belongs to the buyer. He says, you already bought the house. I mean, you're the owner of the house at the time that it was found. And the previous owner can't say that he was Zocha with the Kinyan. He had no idea that it was there. It's not a Mekach Tos. It was not, he's not even claiming that it was his. If it was his, then he wouldn't have left it there, right? Meaning it was obviously belonged to someone from before that, and they have no idea who the someone before that is. So Melamed Ohel writes that he was pretty confident about this Psak, but then he saw in the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim the same Shaila, and he saw the Beis Ephraim Paskin the same way, so now he's very confident about the Psak. He said, Baruch Shekivanti, that I must have gotten it right. Okay, so we had mentioned that there is a Pasuk in the Torah, L'sir v'shar achicho, aseyu nidachim v'salamtam hem, hashev tashiv l'achicho, v'chein tasel l'chalav v'zachicho shetovan menu. Torah tells us, lo sucha l'salim, that there's an Isra in the Torah that when you see an Aveda, you're not allowed to ignore it. And there's a mitzvah saseyev, hashev tashiv hem, and there's an Isra of lo sigzol if you take it for yourself. So says Mar v'yamarav, ra asela shenafla, if you see a sela that had fallen, and you took it for yourself, so when we have to be mechalek what your kavana was and when exactly you took it. So not lefnei yeush, if you took it before the bailim had a chance to even check his pocket and see if he had lost it, so al menas legoza, and your intention was to steal it over b'kulon, you violate all the yisurim that are involved in taking an aveda that doesn't belong to you and not doing a shavas aveda. Mishum lo sigzal, umishum ashef tashivim, umishum lo sukha lesalim. You hit the trifecta. You violated all three averos. Even though you then change your mind after yeush and you go and you return it, matanu diyavle. At that time, it's as if you're giving a stam matana because the bailam was already miyayish and the aveda doesn't belong to them anymore. Visura david aveda. Whatever it is you did, it's already done. It's ein lo takana. There's no way to fix the avera that you've already violated. So that's the discussion in the Rishonim, whether this girsa is the correct girsa, whether what we just said makes any sense, that there's no way to be misakin it, but fine. Not the fnei yeish al menas laksiva. If you took it before yeish with the intention of returning it, ulachra yeish neskavin legoza, and then after the yeish you have in mind, you know what, I'm just going to keep it. So then over mishum ashev tashivim, then you're only in violation of ashev tashivim, because when you took the aveda, you had a chiyuv hashava, but you didn't violate lo sigzal, because lo sigzal is only at the moment that you're taking it, and when you took it, you weren't planning on stealing it. And b'shas netila, you were planning on returning it. You only stole it later. You also don't violate lo sukha l'salim, because you were not misalim from the aveda. You took it al menas lachzira. So there was no misalim. Himtina, if you waited a little bit and you didn't take it, Achin Yashua Bailim Vinutala, and then only after the Bailim was Miyaish, you then decided to take it, then you've only violated Losukha Lesalim because you were Mesalim initially when you saw it. So but you didn't violate Ashev Tashivim because you were planning on returning it, nor did you violate Los Sigzal. Amar Rav Haiman de Chazid Nafal Zuzime Chavre Bechalasa, someone who saw coins fall from a guy, Vashke Vishakle, and he himself found the matbeos and he took them. Lo mechayv laadurile. The motzei doesn't have to return it to the bailam. My time, eh? Who did not fall minei miyayishu? Avagav the chazi daite arbelo v'kamarbel. That the guy who dropped it was miyayish, even though the motzei saw that the bailam took something to sift out the sand, and he sifted out the sand, and it looks like he's trying to find the aveda. But you don't have to return it to him because it's not a raya that he wasn't miyayish. Meimer Amar, you could assume what's going through his head is ki echid nafal mina yididi. Look, I dropped something in sand, and you don't really find things very easily in sand. But just like I dropped something in sand, hachi nafal mina shachrina. Probably other people drop things in the sand also. So I'll start sifting through the sand. That worst comes to worst, if I don't find the thing that I dropped, at least I'll find something that somebody else dropped. Mishkachanamidi, at least I'll find something. But that's not a raya that the guy, when it was bechalasa, when it was dropped in sand, it's not the fact that you see him sifting through the sand is not a raya that he was not miyayish. He probably was miyayish because it would be normal to be miyayish. And with the fact that he's sifting through is because he's looking for any aveda, even if it belongs to somebody else. Okay, now says the Mishnah, matzah b'chadus. If you find an aveda in a store and there's no simen, harei l'shalo, you can keep it because there are lots of different people that come into the store. So the bailim are miyayish because it's such a public place. Bein ha'teva l'chenveni, if it's between the box where the wares are kept and the storekeeper himself, so shel chenveni, then it belongs to the chenveni because he's clearly the one that dropped it. Lifnei shulchani, if you find something in front of a money changer, you put the money on the table in front of him, and people come to change money all the time, so harei l'shalo, it belongs to whoever finds it, because you find it lifnei hashulchan, that divides between the shulchani and the people and the customers, so you see that it must have fallen from one of the customers, and there's so many customers, and probably they had yeush, and therefore you're allowed to keep it. Bein akisei v'lashulchani, but if it's between the shulchani seat and and the shulchan that he uses, harel shul shulchani, so that's on his side of the cash register, so to speak. So that belongs to the shulchani. Halukeach peros mechaveru. If a person is purchasing peros from somebody else, o sheshilach lechaveru peros, or someone sends him peros as matana, umatzaben maos, and the kona or the mekabel finds money in the peros. So harel shalom, right? Someone gives him a pineapple for shalach manos. He opens up the pineapple, and there's money in the pineapple. So then he's allowed to keep it. But if the money was bound together, so then he's not al machris, because the kesher of the of whatever was holding was tying the money together, or the amount of money is considered a simin. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu menachan al gabei shulchan. This din that lefnei shulchan you're allowed to keep it is even if the money is on the shulchan. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah lefnei shulchan yarei l'shalau. That implies ha al gabei shulchan the shulchan. It sounds like if it's on the shulchan, belongs to the shulchan. But then aim a sefer. The sefer goes on to say bein akisiv l'shulchan shel shulchan. Which implies ha'al gabi shulchan shalau. So it's a conflicting implications. We cannot prove any way from our Mishnah. Reb Lazar haminale. Where does Reb Lazar therefore get his din from? Amrav masnis and kashise. He was bothered by the hezbra of the Mishnah. My yiri tani ben akisa the shulchani shal shulchani. Why do you say only if it's between the kisa and the shulchani belongs to the shulchani? Listening ala shulchan. Why not say ala shulchan? Inami matzah b'shulchanos k'dektani reisha matzah b'chanos shalau. Or say matzah b'shulchanos, like we say when it comes to the storekeeper. El shema mina afilu menachan al gabei shulchan arei l'shalav. Must be. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar concludes that even if you find it al gabei shulchan, the halach is arei l'shalav. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, two lines from the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everyone.